All right, this is The Right Track with Brad, back on another podcast. Today I'm with James Hurt, who I met at the BCM, I think it was last semester, right?
Yeah, it was last semester.
So you finished your undergrad at a different school.
That's correct, yeah, I did.
Where was it?
I went to Tennessee Tech for my undergraduate.
Okay, now you're here for...
I'm here for a master's in applied economics.
Okay, applied economics for Western Kentucky.
Mm-hmm. That's correct.
So I actually do want to know, did you like it here in this 1 year so far?
Oh yeah, no, I've enjoyed it. I'm actually honestly kind of surprised how acclimated I've gotten to just living in a different state and coming to a place only knowing like I think one person. And so with the BCM and then going to church, just made a lot of good friends pretty quickly. And, it's been a good transition, and I'm looking forward to the time I've left here. So,
which is a year,
until December for sure.
Oh,
that's when my grad program finishes up. And then after that, I do not know.
Okay.
So yeah.
I kind of like having uncertainty though.
Yeah, like, no, it is, like, I mean, a lot of it is, like, just trusting, you know, whatever God's got plans, you know, he'll lead me wherever he's going to call me, so not too worried about it, but.
Yeah, because I know a lot of people who will be, like, stressed out about stuff, and I'm like, well, yeah, but if you're in Christ, there's no need to be, like, like, there's a point where you have to, like, make decisions and stuff, but to, like, completely worry, like, constantly, it's like, you don't need to. Need to be in that situation. So that's what I mean when I say I like the uncertainty, because you don't know what God has in store.
Oh yeah, no, I was actually talking with Evan Wright the other day, and because he just graduated, and I was like, you know, I was in your situation last year at this time, and you know, it's kind of like, you know, there's so many doors that get opened, and just it's unlimited possibilities, you know, with what you can do. And so it's an exciting time, kind of just, you know, not knowing, and like you could be literally taken anywhere. So it's really cool.
And speaking of not knowing, you didn't know you were gonna shave your head.
Yeah, like, no, yeah.
So that was earlier this year. So you could talk a little bit about that.
Yeah. So just a little bit of background before getting into the shaving of my head. Growing up, I've always taken pride in my hair. I've always just loved styling it, combing it, and then, you know, just fixing it the way I like. And so I never thought I would shave my head, just because of the, you know, how much I loved it. And, you know, there was, going to the BCM at a different school at Tennessee Tech, we always had, beard auctions and hair auctions, at the end of the month of November, and it'd be for a missions fundraiser. And people were telling me, oh, you need to do it. You love your hair. It'll be great. You'll raise a lot of money. And I'm like, yeah, it's a great, noble idea, you know, for missions. Like, obviously, I love missions. I would want to support missions in that way. But I'm like, at the same time, I'd be giving up my hair. And, not like I'm Samson or anything, but like, you know, I love my hair. And so, you know, it was 4 years of me deciding not to enter the auction just because I'm like, I don't want to part with it. And then basically this last semester, I made a bet with one of my old friends in a D group that I was leading. And basically it was just a way, to try to keep us accountable. And, pretty much we made a bet, and it was for like 2 months. And then, we both actually won the bet. So we both agreed to shave our heads if we lost, and we both won the bet. But then I wake up, I can't remember what day of the week it was. It must have been on the weekend, but I wake up to a FaceTime call from this guy. And then it's just a video, like the phone is propped up and it's him sitting in a chair. And then two of my buddies in the background with a electric razor. And then I watch him shave his head. And, like, I'm waking up. This is the first thing I'm seeing. And I'm like, what is going on? And then I was like, whoa, this is crazy. I can't believe he just shaved his head.
Was it long? Was his long?
His wasn't really that long, but it was, like, a deep shave. Like, almost, like, you know, all the way to the bare minimum. Because when I shaved mine, it was a buzz, not, like, a complete shave.
Mm-hmm.
But his was, like, you know.
How long was yours ago? Guard.
How long was mine?
Yeah, like, I remember, but it was just, like,
It was pretty long. I used to have it longer, but this year I kind of, like, kept it more tamed. But, so it was a good length of hair. And then I ended up getting a buzz. After watching that video, I was like, dude, I can't believe this guy just did this. And so I'm like, now I feel like I have to do it in response. And so, yeah, it was something I hated doing, but it's something I felt like I needed to do.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Wow, that's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Because mine's pretty long too, and that'd be kind of hard to just, like, it's one thing to, like, get a haircut.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
It's not long, right? That's, like, whatever. But to get it, like, completely, like, down to, like, nothing, basically, that's like, hard.
No, every time, like, I would wake up and then look in the mirror after doing it, I would not recognize myself.
Yeah.
My hair has never been that short.
Yeah, yeah.
And so, yeah, it was, every time I'd look in the mirror, it'd be, like, a reminder of, like, you know, what I had agreed to. And so it was
wow.
Kind of humbling, so.
Yeah, no, that's cool. I like that. Yeah, that's interesting that you both won, but you still did the penalty.
Yeah.
Yeah. So you just felt obligated to kind of do it. Like.
Yeah, I felt it was an obligation, I felt. And, you know, I think, you know, in the end, it was the right thing to do, even though I hated doing it and I hate where my hair is at now. But,
yeah.
I definitely
think. Wait, so you don't even like it now?
No, I still don't like it now.
So how long ago was it? Was that 2 months ago?
Yeah, it was in February when I had done it. But now it's grown out a good length pretty quickly, but I'm like, yeah, no, I don't want to do this again.
Yeah.
So, but yeah.
Oh, one more question about the hair. Is it, do you think about a month or two it'll be like where you want it, or?
I mean, I hope, but I mean, I don't know, because, like, my sides have always been, like, shorter, but on top, it's always been long, and I could always, like, make it flow back, but now it's just spiky and short, and I'm like, it's, you know, I can't do what I've always wanted to in styling and all that, so.
Yeah. No, that does seem pretty humbling, though, for sure.
Mm-hmm.
And you said you're into, is it politics or economics, or is it both? I don't know.
Oh, I mean, I would say both, but, like, I love the relationship and the interaction they have between each other. And so, yeah, with that, the topic and kind of the direction I want to go in life is, like, towards a career in political economics or, like, geopolitical economics. Mm-hmm. So that's definitely where I'd like to see my career head towards.
So, forgive my ignorance, difference between you said geopolitical?
Geopolitical, yeah.
Versus political?
What's the difference? The only difference is, like, the geo part, just, like, with, you know, geology, it's the study of, like, the natural resources.
Oh, okay.
So that just adds the element of, you know, natural resources like coal or gas or stuff like that.
Okay.
Yeah. And so it kind of adds to the complication of, you know, how do you manage that? Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I was trying to figure out if it was, like, either like rocks or just, like, geography. I don't know what it was. So
I mean,
that makes sense.
It's all encompassing.
Yeah.
But yeah, rather than just, like, the political, it's just purely, like, you know, ideology rather than, like, actual resources and stuff. So
do you think geopolitical things are more what you're geared towards, or that's just, like, an option that you can do?
I would say I have more of a fascination towards that than, like, an option, just because, like, what economics, like, if you look up the definition, of economics, it would be like trying to satisfy our unlimited wants with limited resources. And so, you know, how can you manage, you know, all these different wants and needs that a society can have, but not having enough to do that? Mm. So with that comes, you know, allocating in a proper manner. And so that's where you talk about efficiency and all that stuff in economics.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. Do you think it's efficiency or like effectiveness? Because I just learned like the difference the other day.
Oh, well, let's hear your difference on efficiency. And
so I heard, like, I'm going to try to remember it because I don't really, I literally just read it like once or twice.
Yeah.
It's like, I think efficiency is getting the job done, but effectiveness is, like getting the right job done.
Okay.
I think it's something like that. It was like some like random quote. But it was trying to say that like your effectiveness, this is just in general, this isn't anything like mm-hmm. in particular. Effectiveness is better than efficiency because you can do things fast and have it be bad. But if it's effective, that means it's actually like working, you know? Mm.
Yeah.
Does that tie into anything?
Well, thinking of like, efficiency and effective, when I think of like being efficient means you're mitigating like, your loss. And so, you know, not to get to the topic everybody loves of taxes, but like, when you want to be efficient, you want to mitigate like deadweight loss. And so, essentially when you do tax, you do create a sense of an amount of deadweight loss. And so you have to figure out an optimal tax rate to mitigate the amount of deadweight loss you would have. And then, thinking of effectiveness, that's like what it ends up being. So you can have, you know, the different tax brackets, but you know, just because I'm in the bracket doesn't mean I'll pay that percentage. The effectiveness is like what it ends up being, what percentage I actually pay is the effective like tax rate. And so I think of efficiency is the proper allocation without waste, and then effective is more like what it ends up being.
So, okay.
Yeah.
What else about is like interesting with it? Just the whole economic side of just all of it, because I'm still kind of new to like what you're saying.
Yeah. Well, I love to think critically and try to solve problems, and I think that economics provides a framework in which you can look at the world, and explore different hidden relationships you don't see every day. Over the last 2 years, I've done a lot of reading on causal analysis, cause and effect, and within economics, you look at the relationships among variables and see, does this cause this? Mm. But, you know, the actual research kind of can get muddied with a bunch of other things that can you know, be added.
Yeah.
And like
variables.
Other variables added, and like, you know, it makes your results, you know, confounding if you don't have the controls for them to look at the pure relationship rather than like,
mm-hmm.
you know, how does everything play together? Well, then, you know, you're not really going to find anything because, you know, when you have a bunch of stuff, it's all like white noise. But whenever right. you can like isolate and look at the direct relationship, then you can see, you know, does eating green jelly beans cause cancer? Or is it just a funny relationship between the two? Because you're not looking at the rest of the,
mm-hmm.
the potential causes.
Yeah. Yeah. And like a lot of my psychology classes that I'm taking is like, that's what I'm realizing, or I've already known, but like, it just shows that the more I take them, is how hard it is to do a experiment or a study and not have any not mistake correlation with causation,
mm-hmm.
because exactly. so many, like, everything is correlated to one
another. Yeah.
But if one causes another, it's like really hard to tell. So you might know this, the example of like, you see that it's like murder rates go up
mm-hmm.
when ice cream sales are higher.
Oh yeah, the two things have like, nothing to do with each other.
No, but like the reason is because, and I think the reason was because, like the reason is that it doesn't match. But it was because like in the summertime when it's hot, more people are easily like aggravated.
Yeah.
And when it's hotter out, it's like that's when you're selling ice cream.
Yeah.
And other things, so it's like that's why more people, like. Die
mm-hmm.
with or get like killed or whatever with because ice cream sales go up. It's like, okay, well, they're not correlated, or they're not like one doesn't cause the other. It's
yeah.
It's just because of like the temperature, so that's like a third variable.
Yeah, that's the omitted variable bias. Like if you don't include the temperature, then that's the result you're gonna get.
Mm-hmm.
Whereas when you do include it, then you see the two have nothing to do with each other.
But it seems like everything, not everything literally, but it seems like so many things have just these uncontrollable variables or ones that you just forget or can't even like measure. And it's like, well, why even do any study at all? Because, well, not, I don't want to go extreme. I don't want to go that extreme. But what I'm saying is there's some studies that you can't really figure out. So why even like test them?
Yeah. I mean, that's actually, you know, some of the problems with like psychology studies and you know, some economic studies is that there is a replication problem that is being talked about like a lot among a lot of the professors and
it's hard to replicate studies though.
No, exactly. And like if you have data and if you have established that you know this is causal and this causes this, then you should be able to find it in looking at something else and using other types of data to see is it true. And then when you boil down and you look and it ends up not being the same, then you're like, well, then we can just throw out what we just did. And so it's kind of like, well, why did we do this? Why are we looking into this? And I think like for some psychology studies, it's a little harder, at least for me, to see the use. I mean, there is some, but when looking at, you know, economics and like just the importance that it is, you know, in our daily lives, like, you know, everybody wants a good economy. And so how can we, continue to operate in a way that will, you know, cause the economy to continue to grow. And so
mm-hmm.
looking at that relationship, and that's what like the Fed tries to do, you know, every day, try to make sure we are growing, you know, the economy,
but it can't always grow. Like it's going to fall at some point, right? Like it's going to go down in a cycle.
Well, it depends on the variables that are getting inputted to it. So every year, you know, the population's increasing, but we're also having a population problem. Whereas, you know, we're not reproducing above the effective rate of like, I think it's 2.1. We're having like 1.7. So the world population will eventually decline. So if that declines, then essentially the economies will start to decline because population links to the labor force. The more people working, the more jobs, the more money people make, and the more they can consume on products that are made. And so if you don't have that, if you're not growing in a bunch of other areas, then the economy will also stop in the same way. Like you look at China, their economy is starting to hit standstill because they're population hit standstill.
Mm.
So there's not, you know, they're going to have to come up with something else if their population doesn't grow in order to try to, you know, grow their economy.
So what's normally like the best thing to do at that point?
I would say you gotta have children to raise up to be, workers again. But I mean, China just has a lot of their own problems with politics. If their political structure was different, that would also cause more growth. If they had a freer market, then they would also see growth, you know, as well. And so that's one thing you could do without changing their birth policy.
Yeah, okay. So, but it is a cyclical thing. Like, yeah. it can't always, like, it's going to go down eventually.
Well, yeah, it's, so, yeah, the economy, well, it'll operate in, you know, highs and lulls.
Yeah.
You know, bears and bull markets. But the overall trend of the economy should be in an upward trajectory. If you look, it's kind of, not exponentially, but it's grown pretty rapidly since like the 50s. After World War II, you just see a big spike in output and GDP and all these other factors. And so now, is that sustainable to go in that same increase? I would say probably, most definitely not. What will happen is we'll increase, but at a decreasing rate.
What?
So like, basically, it's the point in which, I wish I had a graph, but like you're increasing and it's going up exponentially. And then essentially you start to, you're still going up, but you're going further to the right at the same time.
Mm.
So you're not like going down, but you're going up, but slower. And so eventually you'll reach that plateau point.
So it's just, oh, you're just saying it's increasing slower.
Yeah, basically. Oh, okay. Increasing at the decreasing rate is just increasing slower. And then, you know, there might be a certain point in which we hit the max. But I think when that time comes, there'll be different ways we can push up the ceiling so we don't, you know, hit a standstill. And that's three different policies that could be implemented.
Yeah, okay. Dang. And well, what right now is, what do you think you'd be like working for to help have like an impact on that? Because I'm sure that's why you know all that information, because you're going to go into something with it.
Yeah. I mean, like, as far as that, I think making sure we get our resources squared away is important in order to look long term.
Like which ones?
Well, I'd say the big ones that kind of run the world would be like oil, gas, food is an important one. Making sure we are the main supplier of ourselves rather than getting it from other countries is important. Not saying not to get any, but
the focus
with you know, we look at the wars going on today, if you know we are getting say 80% of our oil from a country and then we go to war with them, then we just lost 80% of our oil. And so we need to, that's where people talk about mainly in finance, like diversifying your portfolio. I think that's what the country needs to do a better job at doing when it comes to the resources, because of the importance they can play in, like, you know, times like wartime or something like that. And so I would shift our economy, because we're a large consumer, you know, of the world economy. We import more than we export. We're in trade deficits. I'm not saying we need to be in a trade surplus where we're exporting more, but we definitely need to make sure what we're importing is not the essentials. We are supplying ourselves with the essentials, but the other things we can spare to let other people provide for us, so that, you know, if we were to lose them, it wouldn't be as big of a loss.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think, and that's more of a long-term view on that. You know, the short-term view would be, you know, just get it where it's cheaper. And, you know, and another long-term view would be, well, if it's a finite resource, well, then we want to buy up other people's rather than, supply our own.
Oh, yeah.
And so that's where a lot of debate comes in with, like, that idea of being independent versus not being independent, and looking at long-term goals. And I think, you know, it's important to keep both in mind, but you're eventually going to have to pick one. You can't, mm-hmm. you know, straddle the fence on that. And so I think making sure, you know, because there's trade-offs in all of it. That's big in economics, is counting the cost of each decision you make. And I think that ultimately the decision they should do is to be a little bit more energy independent to secure, you know, our domestic security. I think that's what that would provide.
Mm-hmm. But going back to what you said before about, like, being diversified,
yeah,
it feels like that's a trend for anything you're going to do in life. Mm-hmm. Like, just as, like, as a blanket statement.
Oh, yeah.
Like, yeah. You hear so many things about, like, you're only involved in one thing, and it just kind of messes you up because that one thing, like, fails you, which is, again, essentially my testimony with coming to Christ with, like, losing running.
Yeah.
But it goes for, like, everything with people you surround yourself with, looking, like, even looking for jobs,
mm-hmm.
or any activity or anything that you're learning, you know? And even on, like, an extreme scale, which this would be harder to do, but, like, the more languages, like, you learn, the more it's easier to learn, like, the next one.
Oh, yeah.
And helps, like, rewire your brain and stuff. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure it's the same with, like, instruments. But I'm not saying everyone is able to do that. But just thinking about, like, the more you're able to do of a certain category, it seems like it just, like, helps.
Yeah, it's getting over that first hump of, like, the difficulty. And then it just gets, you know, little bit easier the next time.
Yeah.
And so,
yeah. Yeah, and that's for more of a progression thing. But obviously you were talking about as an opportunity sort of thing, like be involved with other people, because if you just only go to the one, like, oil company and they, or the country for it, and then they, you're at war with them, you lose it, you know?
Yeah, yeah, there's the expression, you know, you don't want to put too many eggs in one basket.
Yes.
And so that's, you know, pretty much my thoughts and, like, all of that is you don't want to lose all those eggs. So, because those eggs are valuable.
Yeah, that's
so
true.
Yeah.
And you're probably going to lose, like, one or two anyway.
Oh, yeah. That's where, like, you know, the trade-off happens is, like, you know, I'm fine losing, if I have a dozen eggs, if I lose two eggs, that means I get to keep 10 rather than losing them all.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm fine with making that little trade-off to guarantee at least 10 eggs, you know?
Right.
And so it's kind of, it adds that, you know, security of making sure you're going to be able to supply that.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah.
No, yeah, that's the expression I was thinking of again. So you got it again. but yeah, is there anything else you wanted to say or, like, add to what you were talking about?
See, not off the top of my head. I think I've heard your testimony before, but, could you just go a little bit more? 'Cause, you know, I kind of thought it was interesting how the two related. And,
yeah.
Yeah. I'd love to hear a little bit more about it.
Yeah, for sure. I'll give you a little shortened kind of version of it.
Yeah.
Well, going into, like, junior high was when I started running. So running was, kind of the sport I was going to be doing, and I was just naturally good at it. Just sometimes you're just good at a sport.
Mm-hmm.
And so I kept doing it. And then once I got to high school, I realized how fun it was to be on the team. And the people that I raced with in junior high were now on my high school team. And I was like, man, I can really be, like, bought into this now. So I kept doing everything I possibly could to be a better runner than just the natural talent I had. And that went through with getting the right sleep, never missing, like, any practices, of course, if I was sick or something. The running shoes was a big thing that I got into, and just being, like, fully dedicated to it. And because of how dedicated I was to it, I didn't have many setbacks because I was all in, which helped.
Yeah.
So, you know, I'd see other people, like, go down, like, an injury or something, and not that I'd look at them differently, but I'd be like, oh, like, I'm glad I'm doing this because that could happen to me.
Mm.
Like, stuff like that. Not that I was so comparable in that sense, but just looking back, that's kind of what kept me going. Like, wow, okay, I get to continue my consistency because I'm not, like, getting injured. And I say that because once I went to college and came here at Western, after high school, I was trying to run, and, you know, I'm running for college and it's cool, but, I had a point where I got sick and I was like, okay, this is annoying. And it was right at the most important part of the season. And I already transferred from the other school I was at Coastal Carolina, and that didn't go well. So now I'm like, I'm 2 years into just kind of like struggling with like performance and stuff. So I'm like, dang, this is really annoying. Like, I'm trying to get some consistency back. It's not really working. And then, cause those were due to other, setbacks like sicknesses and other things. But then that following cross country season, cause that was my first semester here.
Mm-hmm.
Then I actually got like injured where my feet were like basically swollen on the, you know, like the ball of your foot, like where your toes like connect to your foot. It was like swollen for like whatever reason, which didn't make any sense because there's no reason why that should have happened. So I kind of see that as God like intervening, because there's no reason. Like I'm really like analytical and overthink a lot of things with like training for the sake of being healthy.
Yeah.
And I really can't figure it out. Like all my shoes were, good to run in. They weren't, I didn't have like 700 miles on any shoes, you know. I was all good getting to sleep, and I'm just training, getting ready for track, and it just hurts. So I'm like, okay, take a couple days off, come back, pain is still there, getting worse. I'm like, okay, well, now I actually have to go check this out. And I was gonna have to take some time off, and it ended up taking way longer than I thought because of other setbacks. But in that time from when I was injured and taking 4 months for me to get back was when I decided to, I had all this extra time because everything was, it was just running in school.
Mm-hmm.
So I had all this extra time. I'm like, okay, well, what am I going to do now? Because like, sure, I could ride a bike for 2 hours every day, but like, that's not like that can only do so much for you. And so I tried working on other stuff like core and all that, but during that time, I started checking out the VCM, just a campus ministry, just to get closer with God. And then my friends there started telling me how important it was to go to a church, not just campus ministry, because the church will continue, but campus ministry is just 4 years. So I want to be part of something that's, well, also biblical, is being part of a church and kind of serving there is a little bit more important. So kind of showed me that, and they showed me the Bible and actually explained why Jesus had to die for everyone, and that it's not just like a crutch to go to when you're struggling, but actually the truth. And you can see that through the evidence of the Bible, which I didn't understand at the time, and I didn't or the time before that, I didn't really realize how I didn't really have anyone like explain it to me, or maybe I just wasn't listening when I was younger, but actually explain it to me the way that I heard it at church and with the people I was surrounded by. And I was thinking like, why would I not want to be like around these people? Like, this is really cool. So during that, that semester, that first half of 2022, I kept trying to get back to running and kept having setbacks. But as I went to the BCM and church, I was actually growing in that. So it was nice to see growth in something, cause I'm a real, goal-oriented person where
you see the progress and the
results. Like, I love seeing the progress, and that's originally the first time, the first reason why I grew my hair out, because I wasn't seeing any progress in my life at other points.
Mm-hmm.
And I was like, okay, well, this is something I can't really fail at. I'm gonna see progress either way. I just don't cut it, it's gonna grow.
Yeah,
it's kind of like charging your phone at night. Like, it's like you don't have to do anything, it's just gonna charge. So but that was kind of a different time in my life. But yeah, going back to that, I was like, well, I'm actually seeing progress in this. Like, this is awesome. I want to keep doing this. And that's when I actually felt like I had an actual relationship with God. Because before it was just one-sided about going to him when I was struggling or just thanking him when I wanted to. And then that was kind of it. But then it became an everyday thing and like a dependence and reliance on him. On what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And now it's like, how could I ever like how could I not want to live like for Jesus now? Because I realize that he should be the king of my life, and that it's not my own life. You know, my life was paid, or it was bought with a cost, with the blood of Jesus. So once I knew that, it's like, well, let's start sharing this with people. And I was learning how to share the gospel, and I'll never forget the first time I actually got to share it. I was like, I thought it was so cool. I'm like, okay, it's the Holy Spirit that did it, but this is pretty cool that I got to share it with someone, you know?
It's so cool how, like, you know, God uses us to do that. Like, you know, His Spirit, you know, will speak through us, and, like, we play the part of just, you know, bringing it to them, you know, our feet are going, but the Spirit just comes in and does a work that only He can.
Yeah. Yeah, because I always thought, like, church is just for, like, overachieving people who love God, you know? Like, I love Him too, but I'll just go, like, when I want to.
Yeah.
To church. And now it's, like, I actually want to go. You know, I want to be in fellowship with other Christians. And so when I did come back from my injury, finally, I knew that I wasn't going to make running an idol in my life anymore.
Mm-hmm.
Because that is temporary and that will end. Like, running ends... And everything else will end, but also just in your life, like, running is going to end, like, injuries and stuff like that is going to set you back, and I got to put my trust in something that's actually eternal, and something that I know that, in my heart, is real, so that's going to be forever, and knowing that I could be in heaven forever and have actual certainty on it, as opposed to just kind of thinking I had to, like, work my way up to it or hope that I get there, or just get there for, like, no reason. Now I actually understand it, and now I'm back to running, and I'm healthy, and it's super fun, because I have had other injuries since then.
Yeah.
They weren't as serious, but they were just little reminders of, like, okay, well, this is good, because if I was just healthy the rest of my life, I'm sure running would take a priority again, so I always remember that when I am healthy, I just gotta remember, that let's not put this ahead of God, because, just like in John 15, like, you can't do... what it says in John 15, you can do nothing without God.
Yeah.
So I want to remember that he should be the main thing in my life all the time.
Yeah. And I like kind of what you said about, you know, when you do face, like, you know, times where, you know, you might get a little injured or something like that. You know, we're promised we're going to face persecution. We're going to face adversity and, you know, challenges, and, like, what that ultimately does is it should strengthen our faith in Christ. And so, you know, it's a good reminder to look at those things and then look to God and how not only does He have the power to bear all of our sin and shame on the cross and defeat death, but He also has the power to get us through, you know, that persecution and that adversity that we face, and how we can just, you know, come boldly to Him because of who He is. And so, yeah, no, that's really cool. I'm glad you shared that, because, you know, it's a good reminder just to hear a testimony of God's power and what He's done.
Mm-hmm.
So that's awesome.
Yeah. And the other, like, key thing that, I want to kind of add into that is, like, His grace and how graceful He is, or abundant in grace He is. And it's just, like, really nice knowing that, because you can never be too far from God. So it's just, it's kind of cool to just always remember that's what peace is, you know? Mm-hmm. The peace isn't, like, you're saved one time. Well, yeah, you're saved one time. But, like, the peace doesn't come from, like, oh, I'm saved, now I'm good. It's a fact that, like, you're set for your whole life. Like, you're not dead in your sins anymore. You're actually, like, alive, and you don't have to worry anymore. And that being obedient to Him should just be, like, out of your love at this point.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. And that's one thing, like, for me, before, like, you know, I pretty much understood who God was and kind of, like, why I needed to obey Him and give my life to Him was, you know, being obedient to Him is, like, actually having to submit to Christ as Lord.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, something that a lot of people struggle with is, like, actually laying down, you know, yourself, your ambition, your life, and giving it to God and, you know, trusting that His way is better.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's, you know, something we all need to be reminded of, kind of just, you know, with the character of Christ, who He is and how He's worthy to be submitted to. because of, like you mentioned, his love, his grace, and just all the other aspects that makes him, you know, a holy and perfect God.
Yeah.
So.
Yep. And then we won't be perfect. So it's like we're still learning. We're still just learning and always growing. So we'll still make mistakes and stuff, but mm-hmm. it's just the idea of trying to grow and trying to be like him. So
absolutely.
Yeah, and I'm glad we brought that up. And then just end it where we did, because it was good to kind of talk about that too. So, mm-hmm. But yeah, thanks for coming, and glad we got to talk about some of like your interests and, you know, shaving your head and stuff. It's kind of fun to hear about that. So,
oh, yeah.
Hope other people enjoyed kind of listening to some of that. But yeah, thanks for coming, and yeah, that's all.
Awesome. Appreciate it.
James Hurt.